All right. Now I'm not muted. Good. All right. With that then, the next thing we want to do is this, is that Jesus says that we're supposed to be salt and light. And I was casting about looking for all kinds of, you know, interesting things that we could learn about. And what I want to do is I really want to increase our ability to share the gospel. And a lot of that is all about how do you get somebody interested, right? And one of the things that Jesus, you know, when Jesus said salt and light, I'm not sure what exactly Jesus had in mind, but isn't it cool that salt has so many different things to it? You know, salt is like valuable. Salt is like, you know, it has flavor. Salt has another characteristic, though, that I think is really important, and I think that we can really use in our learning how to evangelize, learning how to speak the gospel. And that is, anybody ever eat potato chips? Yeah, you love those things? And you can't just eat one. And Lay's doesn't mind that because they like to sell you more. So it's all good. And so you eat and you eat and you eat, and pretty soon you are very thirsty, because salt also makes you thirsty, right? And who's the living water? The water that keeps you from ever being thirsty again. Isn't that fun? I don't know if that's what God intended in that. I mean, but it's sure, it'll preach. I mean, it's good. And so the thing is that one of the things that we get to do when we evangelize is help people get interested. You know what I'm saying? Ask them pregnant questions. Sorry, Carolyn. Ask them questions that are, she's pregnant, that's why I said that. Anyway, but ask them questions that are, that cause them to, you know, that stupid song that you hear once and then it's just in your brain for the rest of the day and you just wish you could do anything to surgically remove it. But, well, what if you asked a question, brought up a topic that would get into somebody's brain? You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to just tell you, this is actually a youth ministry curriculum that I've used in the past, but it's really, really good. And so the thing is I figure, you know, everybody's on the internet anymore, right? And so I don't know if you can use the video. The idea is this, is that we ask a question that gets people thinking and opens up a conversation and gets you talking. Right? And so because kids can have a really hard time bringing things up, unlike us, we have no problem at all bringing up, you know, all kinds of awkward topics, right? But because youth have a hard time bringing things up, they made these videos available to them. And I am right now looking for the right, here it is, one. All right. This is a video called Have You Ever Wondered About God? Are we ready?
Most people on this planet believe in some kind of higher power, a God. Some believe he created everything, or that he loves everyone and wants them to be happy. Whatever, but let's back up. If there is a God, and he's out there, somewhere looking down on us, what's he really like? Some religions say God is merciful. Some say he's vengeful. Some say both. Always good, never bad. Without sin, even that he's incapable of being in the presence of sin. Some say he blesses those who bless him, whatever that means. Other religions use God as a reason to hurt other people, and they say that's what he wants. But it keeps going. Some see God as a she and believe in a mother-type deity. Others say that you are in some ways a god yourself. We all are. Others believe that God is out there, but he's so unplugged from this world and mystical that we can't possibly know anything about him. Millions of people believe that there are millions of gods, and you have to try to please them all. Then there are those who believe that God is everywhere and in everything, and if you try hard enough, you can tap into his or her power. Needless to say, there are quite a few different opinions about what God is like. But what really matters right now is, what do you think?
All right. So, oh, that's not quite right. Anyway, all right. Can somebody look up Matthew 5:13, sorry.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot.
All right. So what's Jesus talking about when he said that? Who's supposed to be salty? Not that kind of salty, Jill. Anyway, yeah, this is exactly. What does it mean to be salty? I mean, what is it? What's that? Okay, excellent. Yeah, soldiers were paid with salt, right? Salt was actually a commodity. It was a necessary thing for life. If you didn't have it, you would die, especially when you were like, you know, pre-air conditioning days when you sweat all the time. Salt would be kind of important to be replenishing in your body, or you are going to become very ill. So that there's some, what else?
Taste.
Yeah. Spices life up. What's that?
It preserves.
It preserves. Very good. Yep. Yeah. And so when God says you guys are the salt of the earth, what he means is you guys have purpose. You guys have a reason to be here, and you need to be doing it. If you are the salt of the earth, but you're no longer salty, I mean, that's the thing about salt, right? Does it have a choice?
No.
No, I mean, it's not like salt is going to wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to be sweet today. You know, it just doesn't happen like that. Salt is salt. And the thing is that there's a reality to that with us as well, is that we're Christians. We've been transformed. We've been bought by the blood of Christ. We've been converted. We've been made new. And our what that means in being a Christian is that we are salt. That's part of the deal, right? But we're salt with a choice. Sometimes we can actually choose not to be salty. Well, good is that? And what did Jesus say about salt that lost its, or salt that lost its saltiness? Is it good for anything? Yeah. And so again, God can be harsh. You know, I mean, eventually he can just say, hey, you're not doing your job. What good is this? Right? Yeah. And so what our job is to be salt. So let's see here. No, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. You know what? The message bugs me sometimes. It can be good, but sometimes it's like it's somebody's idea of what the text should have said. You know what I mean? That kind of, I don't know. That just bothers me. Anyway, but it kind of works into this one. But basically it says, so jump in the first salt topic. Have you ever wondered about God? So what does that video that we just watched accomplish? Yeah. I mean, because do people often like sit around and think about God? Or do you think they go through a lot of times when they don't think about God? Or if they do think about God, do you think they talk about God? And if they do talk about God, do they talk to anybody who can actually help them think about God? You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is that what sometimes we're just looking for an on-ramp, you know? You're driving along the frontage road and you're seeing the interstate and you're driving slow and you're behind this tractor and you're just like going, I just want an on-ramp. I want to get to where I want to go. And what we're wanting is we want to witness, we want to share faith, we want to talk about God with somebody, but it's like that frustration of how do I get there? How do we just open up the conversation and start? Well, one thing we can do is ask these kind of questions, right? And the video is kind of fun because, you know, kids live on the internet. So a video that you can, like, share on your Facebook page or on, I guess, Facebook, right? Children are not on Facebook. Anyway, but nevertheless, you know, whatever they're using these days, Snapchat or whatever, Twitter, whatever it is. Anyway, they can throw it out there and they can even use their, you know, own language or world to do the evangelism, you know, to start the conversation. They can also just, you know, play the video on their phone because they're always sharing stuff like, look at this. So, I mean, they can like share that. Now, I don't know if this works really good with adults. You know, it might work really good if you're talking to kids. That might go. It might work if you're talking to friends. I have no idea. It depends upon how you guys do things. But here's the thing. Whether or not we use this video, the question's a good one. You know? You know that, you know, and you can work that into so many different places. You know, there's a telescope just tossed up into, I don't know, what orbit of what? I'm not even sure where. It's out there in space someplace. And we're just getting telemetry back from it. We're getting the first photographs, and they're just crazy amazing. And you just look at them and you just think, holy smokes, this is just so big and so astounding. And what we thought was a star is like a cluster of galaxies again. I mean, it's like we just are seeing more and better and farther and stuff. And you think that might be a bridge to start talking about God? I mean, the God that made this incredible world, I mean, what a crazy thing. A God that's bigger than we thought before, because now we can see farther and we can see that he's even bigger than that. He spoke that into being. I mean, that's pretty crazy stuff, you know? I mean, it's there's a way, right? Go for a walk in the woods. Think there's anything to talk about God there?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Some crazy, amazing, miraculous thing happened that God provides for you in a moment. Think there's something to talk about God there? You know what I'm saying? But the thing is not just to just not to preach, you know what I mean? To come down and say, this is God saying this, and let me tell you about what. No. Throw it out there as salt and say, hey, isn't this amazing? I just love it that I can trust in God and God will provide these things, or that God made this world for me to live in, and I just love God so much. What do you think about God? And the thing is that when we, I love, quid pro quo, right? I love quid pro quo when it comes to evangelizing, when it comes to speaking the gospel, because their words to me are just human words. My words to them, what's in them? When I'm speaking the gospel to them, is it just me? No, it's God who promises that my words will not return void, right? I mean, that's pretty incredible stuff. So am I willing to sit and listen to them for half an hour talk about what they think God is? If afterward I get to tell them what I think God's about? Oh, yeah, I'll do that all day. Absolutely best investment of time ever, right? And the thing is that, you know, when you ask questions and hear what they have to say, you're doing so many things. You're earning the right to speak to them about what you believe because you've listened to them, right? I mean, there's an exchange, and think about it. That's what human beings do when we talk, and we talk about a topic. You know, you tell me, I talk to you. We share our ideas and our thoughts and stuff, and it's totally a different thing than if we just preach at them. Than if we just say, hey, looking for an opportunity so I can, like, you know, God created us to be with him and our sins separate us from God. Well, you don't ever do that. Okay, don't speak the God, don't speak the outline, say it in your own words. But nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying? Is that it can be so much more powerful to do that. And so I kind of love these ideas. What else we got here going on? So have you ever wondered about God? Yeah. Why? Where do you think? Do you think most people have wondered about God at some point in their lives? I would think probably, right? But the question is, where do people get their ideas about God? Where do they come from? Parents, could be.
Others in general.
Movies, TV shows like Touched by an Angel. You know, I mean, where are people? I mean, if they've not been to BBS, they've not been to church, they've not been, you know, no, there haven't been a lot of Christian influences in their lives. Are there a lot of people out there like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Oh, my goodness, yeah. We call them secular people. They're people that have not had real contact with church or God. And it's terrifying because I get these kids in confirmation. You know, they show up at confirmation. They don't know who Noah is. They don't know who Moses is. They, you know, and I'm like going, we're starting in a difficult place here because I've got 2 years to teach you Christian doctrine, but they have nothing to build on. No foundation whatsoever. Oh, the news, yeah.
When you hear Muslims, oh,
yeah. Yeah, Westboro Baptist. All the horror movies where the priests are the bad guy. Yeah, seriously though, I mean, think about it. If you have no concept of God anyplace else, what is your concept of God? You know, so it is kind of an interesting thing. So so when you ask, don't be shocked. You know what I mean? Don't. How can I say that? Don't look horrified so that you, you know, basically make them feel like they're horrible for saying what they said. You know, be. be you know, accommodating, be open to it.
I think increasingly people's own imaginations.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like what do they call it? Like the God that you can kind of like make up your own, you know, select your own God. Yeah. My God would never send someone to hell. Where'd you get that from? Right? Yeah, exactly. You know, my God wouldn't judge somebody because of how they were born. You know, my God wouldn't, well, because they say that, yeah, if you're born with identities then and they're not good things, then, yeah, it's how they see the world. And so what are you going to do? You can't tell them. And that's the main thing is that what happens if they're completely wrong? Do you say, wrong answer? Let me tell you the truth.
Carry a buzzer.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. Like the taboo buzzer. I've never done that before. Chase somebody around the house with a taboo buzzer. Yeah, never. Anyway, but nevertheless, but how do you do it then? You know, well, if they've shared their view, you share your view. You don't have to like be. This is not something that has to be done in a day. We're not selling used cars. We don't have to close the deal at the first meeting. It's not like that. What it is, they will understand that you're taking an interest in them. And that's unbelievably important. This is a relationship. This isn't a project. You know what I'm saying? It's not a to-do list. It's not something that you want to. Now, if it's fertile ground and they're like asking all kinds of questions, it's like the you know, Philip and the Ethiopian, where, I mean, after the first conversation, the Ethiopian says, hey, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? You're like, oh, let's do it. Anyway, I mean, that's great. Go with it if it happens, but don't be so eager to close the deal that you end up not valuing the person. You know, because the gospel was intended to be spread in the context of loving relationships. It's why it works so good with parents and kids, right? With grandparents and kids, with you know, Christians, and you know, it happens because you actually care enough about them that you want them to know Jesus, and you're not gonna persuade them into faith. You do understand that, right? There's no, that's not how conversion works. You don't persuade somebody and then they decide to be a Christian. That's not how it works. The way it works is you proclaim truth to them and the Holy Spirit uses that to change them. Who gets credit? Not me. You know, all I can do is, you know, spit out syllables. The Holy Spirit has the power to do things that are absolutely amazing. And you know, I gotta say, it's so essential that we think in terms of that we don't think in terms of we're saving them. You know what I'm saying? We're participating in God's work of salvation, no question. We are definitely and actively involved in it. But if we talk to them and work with them and they don't come to faith in our, you know, presence, did we fail? No, we succeeded. We spread the gospel. We shared God's message, right? What's that?
It's our job.
It's our job. We did our part. And then after that, we hand them over to God because he's the only one that can really, truly change them, right? But you see how that takes a lot of pressure off us, though? Because I've seen it before where it's like, you know, that people are like coming up with all of these arguments about all these, you know, let me prove that God is real. C.S. Lewis wrote a poem once called The Apologist Evening Prayer. And in it, he said, he made it, it's poetry, so, you know, it's going to be, it's a little more complicated, but he said that our vision of God is nothing more. It's as real as a coin, the image on a coin is to the real person. You understand? It's our view of God is so shallow and so small and so little and so lifeless compared to the enormity of who God actually is, that when we try to persuade people, and try to prove God. And he says this, he says, for the God who gives no sign, you know, God doesn't prove his own presence. I mean, he gives us his word and converts us by the work of the Holy Spirit. He could show up like we talked about on just this morning. You know, we talked about God showed up and shocked the children of Israel by speaking the Ten Commandments to them. I mean, that would get people's attention. Now, what they would do with it, who knows? Sinful people, they could do anything. But nevertheless, but does God do that? Does God try to persuade us by logic? So why do we depend on logic? You see what I'm saying? It's not about having all the right arguments. It's not about being able to answer all the right questions. More knowledge is always good. Being able to explain things is wonderful. But the power of the gospel is the gospel. Being able to speak the truth of how God saves us and let the Spirit do the rest. It is sometimes, I mean, and here's one of the rubs as you talk the gospel to somebody is that there's sometimes people have barriers that they built in their brain. You know, don't talk to me about a God who created because I believe evolution. Right? Don't talk to me about a God who's loving because I see all these horrible things in the world and I know God couldn't possibly love. And they build these logical barriers in their brain. Is it our job to knock all those barriers down? No, we can't. No, it's not our job. We can't do it. You know, can the Holy Spirit do it? Does it every day, all the time, right? Our job is to do what? Speak the gospel. And speak the gospel in the context of a loving relationship, right? And take actual, listen to the people that we're talking to so that we can actually respond with gospel applied to them. You know what I'm saying? That we can bear witness to how God has walked us through life. You know, that we can comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. That's another Bible verse, right? I mean, it's all these Bible verses keep coming out, and then that's the point, is that this is what we do. And So here's another question. How real is this for you? Because I really truly believe that every educational process in the world is leading someplace except for many Bible studies. That, in other words, you know, if I'm going to go to school to become an engineer, guess why I'm going to school? To become an engineer so that I can build things or fix things or whatever, right? I've got a goal in mind. I often think a lot of Bible studies, we just sit around and learn tidbits. And then we go about our lives as if we've never been there. There's never, why are we learning this? Why are we doing this? Well, we're doing it because, number one, we need it for ourselves, but we're supposed to be speaking the truth. You know, Paul was busting on the church once because he said, you guys are still hearers. You should be teachers by now. What does that mean? Does that mean they have to teach in church? It means in their life. You guys ought to be speaking this stuff all over the place. You got to be proclaiming God's truth. You got to be talking about this stuff. This is what we do. We know God's truth, we speak God's truth. But the best way to get started is to get people interested. Ask those questions that start a conversation. You know, we always have these things in our house that are supposed to be conversation starters. Or is that like not anymore? You know, but you can have this thing and people ask about it, and now you have something to talk about, right? Well, what if we make those things gospel-oriented, God-oriented? You know what I'm saying? That they can, those things can be bridges, that we literally seed our life with conversation starters. You know? You put something on your dashboard. Why is that up there? That's kind of weird looking. You know, make it absurd, make it a little bit noticeable. That's a bridge to the gospel.
Jesus bobblehead.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Jesus is always happy. Yes, he's very positive. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, To each his own.
And your own.
Yeah, exactly. If you can make that work, I don't know. Brothers. Anyway. okay. So here's the next thing. And here's the steps that they give us that can be helpful. If we are going to be able to do what we were just talking about, here's the steps we get to go through to prepare ourselves for the work of spreading God's law, or God's grace. And the first thing is, look at this. It's salt. Isn't that clever? I wish I'd have come up with that. Anyway, first, the S is search the Bible. John 14:9-9. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus replied, have I not been with you with all this time, Peter or Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Do we want to be digging in the Bible? Does it matter? Does it tell us about who God is? Are we going to understand God a lot better? And remember, here's our job. Our job is this. There's another way of thinking about it. Our job is to be a bridge. We have God, right? Does he change? Nope. He's solid. He's steady. He's right there. And is he always open to the people? I mean, this is a God that is gracious beyond comprehension, right? And so we need to know this God. We have to know what he says. We got to know what he's okay with. We got to know what he promises, so that when somebody tells us he promised something that he didn't promise, we're like, no, where'd you get that? Right? You drive him back on it because you know better, and you know this God, and then you need to know the people. And let me tell you what, most mission work, and I'm not talking about like mission work in Guatemala or, you know, Kyrgyzstan or anything else. I'm talking about mission work in your own neighborhood. It's cross-cultural missions. You know what I'm saying? Because if you work with like kids, teenagers, you work with your grandkids, you work with the kids, talk to any of those people, it's cross-cultural. They see the world differently than you do. They were born at a different time. It's just different, right? And so the thing is that if you're going to bring this incredible truth of God, this person of God, this relationship with God, and communicate it to somebody else, first of all, you have to know God, right? The next thing is A, apply the truth personally, which means you need to know the person. If you're going to take the truth of God and translate it for that person, you have to know who they are, right? I guess what they're talking about, the truth personally. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. The truth personally is basically not just the truth of God, but that he changed me, right? That it's that it starts with a relationship between you and God. That it's not just the knowledge of God, but it's what God has actively done in my life, and that we really know that and explore that and praise God for that and meditate on that. Understand deeply what it is God has done for us. What does it mean that he forgives us over and over and over again, right? I mean, because we have those sins that we do over and over and over again. And do those sins wear us down? Do those sins make us feel guilty? Do those sins like start making, because we would have a hard time forgiving somebody who did something over and over again, we start to apply that to God, right? But then we know that that's not true. And we start to understand what that incredible grace of God really truly means, right? And as we learn about how God relates to us, how God loves us and stuff, that prepares us for the next thing. Then the next thing is where I was going next. Listen to others deeply, because if we don't know them, can we apply anything to them? Can we really have a relationship with them if we don't listen to them, if we do all the talking, right? And think about it. If you do all the talking, they're not a person, they're a project. You know what I'm saying? If you do all the talking, then you're on a pedestal in your own mind, and they need your help. You know, they're less than you. Make it a relationship. Yes, you have something that they desperately need, but it's not you. It's God. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth of the gospel is what they need. And you they are precious in God's sight. Are they worth getting to know? Is it, and like we said earlier, you know, the quid pro quo thing, is it worth listening to them go on and on and on about something that you don't even agree with? Absolutely. Because if nothing else, it gives you the right to share, right? And so, and listen. You know, if they're going on and on and on about something you don't agree with, listen carefully, because those are all little hooks that you can use later in the conversations. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're getting to know how that person thinks. You're getting to know what's important to the person. You're getting to know what their values are, what their, and all of that stuff is stuff that you can bring back and use, because, yeah, it's unbelievable. When the conquistadors came over and started colonizing in South America and Central America, one of the things they noticed was random symbols on their on the buildings and stuff, crosses. Yeah, you think they just like didn't take advantage of that? Oh no, they did. They took advantage of that. It was really cool. They could actually, and the thing is with the conquistadors, they get a really bad name because, you know, they were very, very horrible, and they did steal gold and they did all that stuff, but they weren't all that way. There were actually priests over here who truly were trying to bring Christ to people. But nevertheless, yeah, beside the point. But the idea of when you see something in somebody that you can, you know, use to connect them to Jesus, you know, when somebody is desperately looking for a cause. Well, does God have anything to say about meaning? You know, that we were created for a purpose, and that maybe the purpose is bigger than saving the whales. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just there's reasons that people are so hungry for, you know, seeking out, looking for something to believe in and to live for. And God says, I got that. And we can help them find that. But we got to first get in their head and find out what it is that they're seeking and looking for. You know, are they looking for meaning in their life? Are they looking for purpose? Are they looking for identity? Who am I? I mean, how many identity issues do we have running around in the world today? It's the word that you hear everywhere, right? Well, why are those people so hungry for identity? Because God is our identity. God is the one who gives us our identity, and those people don't have God, and so they know that they have a great big hole in their lives, and they are desperately trying to fill that hole with anything to give themselves some kind of relief, because they're living in that vacuum. You think that's a pregnant place for them to talk about the gospel? You know? Because if somebody says, you know, my identity is I'm gay, and you say, well, my identity is that I'm a child of God. You know what I'm saying? My identity is that I'm somebody that God loved and saved. That's who I am.
And looking for acceptance.
Yeah.
When you're talking to younger.
Right. Right. I mean, just think, but what I'm saying is, and now is this going to be easy right away? No. Are we going to probably step in a few puddles and other things? Yeah, probably. And the thing is this, you know how you get better at something? Keep doing it. Exactly. Yeah, my kid's car broke. I had to learn how to weld. You know what I did for a long time? I stood there and welded scrap metal together and then beat it with a hammer to see if it would break. And then I welded it together again and I beat it with a hammer. I just kept doing that until I was good enough that I could weld on my kid's car so that he wouldn't die. You know, it was kind of important that those welds not break. So, I mean, what do? You keep at it. You keep working at it. Is it worth it? I really believe that it's important for everybody to keep learning and growing, right? I say that as an experience because, like, this last month I've learned how to fix air conditioning in cars and weld. So, I mean, I'm constantly learning things because I have to. But the thing is that it keeps your mind working and stuff. And here's a new skill. And here's a skill that has so many dimensions to it. Your brain is going to be active and growing and learning for a long time. Because you're going to learn better and better. How do I witness to a teenager? How do I witness to somebody who believes that they are transgender or homosexual? How do I witness to somebody? Well, does God love them any less? Is that sin any more shocking to God? No. So why are we making it all shocking to us? How about we just love the snot out of those people because they need God? How about if we try to, everything we can, put all of our creativity and energy into how do we work with them and teach them? And we're actually, my Bible study that I started this week with to teach today, turned into a set of Bible studies because it's all about how do we talk to transgender and homosexual people. And so that's coming. We'll talk about that later. And it has all to do with this identity. It has all to do with behavior. It has all to do with all of these things that are very normal Christian things, but we don't always apply it properly to people. And how do we speak those things to people? So we'll get to that. And then talk about the gospel. If you don't talk, there's people like me who I love talking to people. I love getting to know people. But I will keep it in the fun realm forever because, once we're having a good time, why make it awkward? You know what I'm saying? And what good does it do? If I have a relationship with somebody, that is a precious thing that God has given me. Right? If you have money, is that a good, wonderful thing that God has given you? And how are you supposed to use the money? For him. For him and his purposes, right? I mean, you say, well, I got to take care of myself. Well, aren't you part of his purposes? I got to take care of my kids. Well, that might be part of his plan too. But it's also not that you just live a lavish lifestyle. It's that you use that resource to forward the gospel as well, right? Well, if God has given you this precious relationship with this human being that he loves, what is God's purpose for that relationship? And if we don't use it for that purpose, what are we doing? I mean, and do we really love them? Are we really loving them if we don't use the relationship to forward the gospel and to help that person grow in their relationship with God? You know what I'm saying? And so, talk. If you don't talk, all the rest of it doesn't matter. If we don't actually share, I've talked to people who, youth, it was great, because we have these conversations and stuff, and they're like, well, I like to witness with my life. I like to be nice to people and help people and stuff, and that's my witness. And I'm like, well, that's really nice, but does anybody know why you're doing it? And if not, then they're going to think you're cool, but they aren't going to think anything different about God. Yeah. At the end of the day, talking isn't optional. We got to talk. So here's my assignment for you, all right? I need you to identify somebody. And it's scary, isn't it? I'm going to actually say, okay, now you got to go practice. Because if you don't practice, you're just it'll be back to the old Bible study where we all learn tidbits and don't do anything, right? This is a Bible study where we're actually preparing for something. We are preparing to share our faith. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. So, who are you going to share with? And I bet most of you know already. I do. I'll bet most of you are like, my neighbor Ed. He and I talk over the fence all the time. Have I talked about God with him a few times? I've lived there 15 years. We can do better. The kids on the other side of me, I let them play. I love those kids. They're so adorable. I buy them sidewalk chalk and they decorate my driveway all the time. It's hilarious. It's just so fun. They play soccer in my backyard because their backyard has a dog. And ugh. Anyway, you don't want to walk in that. Anyway, but so the thing is, I mean, I love these kids. Do I talk to Jesus about them? So who are we going to talk to? And so here's what we need to do. First of all, we do this alone. We do this on our own strength. Nope. So what do we do first? We pray. Does God put? Have we learned a lot of stuff about God over the years? Do we know the gospel? Memorize your Bible. Memorize your little outline because it is helpful. I'm telling you what, when you're nervous and stuff, it's really helpful to have something to fall back on. And don't just recite it to them. That won't really be very impactful. I mean, that's not a relational sharing of the gospel. You want to make it personal between you and them, but it definitely helps with trying to spell it out. Practice when you're driving around alone. Practice sharing the gospel with whoever it is you're talking to. Get yourself ready. Get yourself together. You know how, you know Joe Sullivan?
Yeah.
You know how he came to faith? He was, his friend was in a Bible study just like this one. His friend walked up to him. It was a Marine. He walked up to him and he said, "Hey, at church we're learning how to share our faith. Can I practice on you?" Now he's a pastor in Pacific. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, it's like you talk about the dorkiest way of approaching a person, but it worked. It's so crazy. God's power is so amazing. It doesn't take ridiculous creativity. It just takes courage. Well, that might, I don't know.
It worked on somebody.
Yeah, oh no. Remember earlier we had the witnessing styles. Were you here on the Sunday the Sunday we talked about the witnessing styles?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to find that. I'll bring that handout back again. It's really funny because there's the shocker. You know, the witnessing style is the shocker. That's like Peter, you know, or was it Peter? I think Peter was the one where, you know, oh, and Jesus did this too, you know, how much, the rich young ruler, how can I be saved? Keep all the laws. Oh, you did that? Fine. Sell everything you own, give it to the poor. You know, but did that get the kids' attention? Yeah, I bet it did. I mean, it was like sort of a, oh, wow, okay. You know, so will those kinds of things work? Yes, they will work. The downside to it is you could also turn people off.
They could run away from
them. But on the other hand, you tried. You did something. I mean, the thing is that, you know, I mean, and the thing is this, is that they're less likely to run off if that happens in the context of a relationship that's been built. If they know that you care about them, that comment would be a completely different thing than if you just walk up to someone on the street and say, "Oh, you're a nice guy. You're going to hell." You know, I mean, wow. I'm biased against those just because I don't like them. But no, I mean, from the other side, it's awkward and difficult. It's also very, very helpful. So yeah, we probably ought to do that. That would not be a bad way to go. I'll have to think about it and how to make that work best. But yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Just pragmatically and practically, how do you witness to somebody? Another suggestion I've had over time was, you know, this gospel thing. Eventually, I don't want you to do the God created us to be with him. I want you to be upfront and just say, you know, the way it all started is God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and everything was perfect and God existed with them perfect. The relationship was perfect and everything was great right up until they sinned. And when they sinned, it just messed everything up. And did I just talk about how God created us to be with him and our sins separate us from God? You see, you can just kind of smoothly say it, but you can do it without... The thing is that what we did in youth ministry is I actually made a kid get up front and say and witness to the whole group every lesson. They loved that. But they came back, so I was okay. But nevertheless, but you see how that goes, is that, you know, you get up front, you just have to say it, and the thing is that forces you, if you know you're up next week, you're going to practice a little bit, I hope, or you're going to get up there and look really silly. What?
The candy.
Oh, candy. Oh, my goodness. So yeah, that's how I get the kids to memorize that God created us to be with him, is I'll just walk around the room and I'll go, "G," and then I'll throw candy at her. I'm not joking. There you go. Just like that. And guess what? I get them engaged, man. They'll talk. But you see, this is it, is that we're gonna do this one way or another. We're gonna get this stuff out there. And we need to be prepared. It's just preparing. It's learning, it's growing. And when you learn, sit in Bible study, don't just think, "Wow, that's kind of cool." Think, "How can I use that?" And use it for what? Use it to talk to these other people. You know, Stu Brassey with his whole Bible study about the stars and everything like that. You think that would be really cool for drawing people toward the gospel? I mean, that's just so cool stuff. I mean, there's just all of these interesting things that we learn. Ask yourself that question over and over and over again. Your goal is to be a speaker of the gospel. So, like, apply all these things that you have toward the goal. How are we going to do it? And the first thing is solid relationships with people. Actually take interest in them. Love them. And then out of love, share the gospel. Questions, comments? Anybody have these experiences where you get to share the gospel with someone? Yeah?
Mine's more, I hear in counseling sessions a lot of people's opinions.
Yes. Well, that's a kind of a weird relationship where you're not allowed to talk. You're,
yeah. A lot of the ones I'm more bold about is when they talk about their Joel Osteen every day, getting emails. I've dived into that one with people several times.
Yeah. Yep. Heebie-jeebies. Anyway. Yeah.
I always love to share the story when you bring up Joel Osteen. I was at the Christian bookstore up in Manchester a few years back. And when I went in there, I'm browsing the shelves, and somebody had come in. Bless their sweetheart. Every one of his books were turned backwards.
There's a pastor, he's in the Iowa district, or one of the East-West Iowa. He's the one in college. He was good friends with Laura. They went through the music program together. And so he was the one that used to do that, so Laura and I do it now.
That's hilarious. Wow. I don't know what to say. Anyway. Okay, well, very good. Well, let's do this. What I want you to do, and it's on your honor because I can't check your work, but I want you to identify the person that you need to talk to. And don't limit yourself to them. I mean, if a situation arises, you're definitely allowed to color outside the lines and witness to more people. But I want you to really think in terms of how I want you to, first of all, let's pray for that person. And I don't mean just once. I mean, like, make that part of your prayer life, that every day you're praying for that person, that you would have an opportunity to witness to that person, that God would send the Spirit to work in that person's life, that he would send other people to talk to that person, and just pray for them and get to know them, you know? Put yourself in situations where you can get to know them, ask them questions, find out about their lives and what's important to them, and then start asking those questions that can lead to more questions. All right? So let's start now. Let's start praying, and then we'll get to work and we'll talk. And what the way I want it to be is we can do all kinds of other things in this study, but one of the things I want to do is I want to kind of hold people accountable too. You know, I can't do it like one-on-one or like, you know, but to just ask you every week, how's it going? You know? Are we working toward it? Are we witnessing? Are we growing in relationships? And are we sharing the faith? All right? Make the most of every opportunity, Peter tells us, which is actually God. So there's that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that you have, that you've brought us into this relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully carry this message out into the world, that we would be, that we would just be dripping with your gospel, Lord, that people coming into contact with us would notice that we are different and that they would know why, and they would know what you did for them. Help us, Lord, to be courageous and brave. Help us to know what to say when we need to say it, to trust in your Spirit to guide us. And Lord, I pray that you would just do your thing. Be powerful in us. Change people. Because of your great glory. In your name we pray. Amen.